Hello there, and welcome to Early Late Nights, the Australian esports news show right here on twitch.tv/explosionnetwork. Now, such a great news show would need a fantastic host. So, they got this doofus in to kind of replace him anyway. Sorry about that. Anyway, have you very good night and welcome your host, Kieran Marchant.
Okay? What even? Okay? I guess? Weird? I have no idea. Do you have an idea? I don't know. What's going on, everybody? Welcome to Early Late Nights, episode 58, right here on twitch.tv/explosionnetwork. Like the announcer said, I hope you're having a good day. I'm having a fantastic day. I'm not at work at the minute. I'm cruising along with my life, playing games, preparing for an event that I'll be talking about later in the week. You might have heard of it. PAX Australia. Pretty big. Pretty poppin'. Poppity pop packin'. PAX with a P. P. I don't know. Anyway, thank you very much for joining us here tonight. I am super excited. Sorry we had to miss the show on Friday, but we're going to pick up all the good stuff right now and go over it. Make sure later in this week, if you're not at PAX or if you're not in Australia or if you're in some weird time zone that's 3 hours behind us for no reason, please make sure you pick up and have a look at Red Dead Redemption 2 that's coming out this week on Friday. It's been massively talked about, I guess, for several weeks now, and to see that transition and that change has been pretty cool. Pretty cool, in my opinion. So, hey, there's been some drama around it, so I guess we will see exactly where that goes about. Also, Soul Calibur 6 was just released. It's out there in the wild now. If you stop by any of the Twitch channels, go support them, go see. I find it really interesting, the differences between Tekken and Soul Calibur, and we'll go into that in a later episode, but the fascinating thing was the character customization that is part of the game, especially for those in the multiplayer world, where even though you have your character, you can take your character, your Yoshimitsus, you can take your Lees, and you kind of just make your own character model for that, dress them up in whatever you like. It still has its fighting styles, its fighting stances, and its different weapons, but it's pretty interesting to see the differences and picking up on which character's which. It does tell you before. Tekken doesn't have swords. Thank you, Tranquilo, in chat. Tekken doesn't have swords. Soul Calibur does. Soul Calibur has lots of swords and weapons and stuff. And hey, that's interesting enough as it is. We're also going to be seeing Dark Souls on the Switch with its release. People were worried about that game, about frames and how its performance would suffer probably on the Switch, being a smaller console, not as powerful as your PlayStation, your PlayStation, your Xbox, or your PC. But after frame tests and review copies being released and people actually getting a chance to dig into Dark Souls, it seems to be running really well. There seems to be a lot of good interaction with people. It seems to be in an interesting place right now. So I'd be pretty happy if I was over at From Software. It's really good to see the development and everything. So we'll see how Dark Souls comes when it's fully released on the Switch. And the general public has had its way with it. There might be bosses that might be problems. I remember a couple in Dark Souls 1 that were quite frame intensive. So we'll see exactly how that plays out as it goes in the future. Call of Duty Black Ops 4 released 2 weeks ago now. And to me, honestly, I'm not a fan. The multiplayer, like the general normal COD multiplayer, Call of Duty Zombies, what's happened with that game that used to be super simple and just fun, repetitive but fun and easygoing, but it now has a story and everything involved, and I haven't been across it for many years, so heh. But what's interesting me about Call of Duty Black Ops 4 is the Blackout mode, the Battle Royale mode that is a part of the game. To see that featured and to see different members of the community digging into it and really enjoying it. I think it has that arcade-ness that we like, but in a PUBG style without going full Fortnite. It's really interesting to see how it differs with its vehicle usage, with different bits of interactive, equipment that you can have. I think it's really fun. If you check out, there's a video that Dylan put together on Twitter of a bunch of gameplay that he played with friends of the show, Buddy Watson and Dash. So Hey, it's interesting to see. It's interesting to see that Blackout has it. And if you haven't noticed, go over to Explosion Pod at Explosion Pod on Twitter or our Facebook group, facebook.com/Explosion Network, and you'll see we've gone through a rebranding. Not early late night, so to speak, but as a channel, we have matured, and thanks to Cherie, who's recently come on board with the network, we have put on a really good range of new artwork for you as part of our channel. To be honest, like, look, Cherie obviously was a previous fan of the shows, was a friend of the channel for a very long time, knew the one way to get me on board with, like, anything, and that's put my face in it. Put my face somewhere amongst it. Works. Boom. Instantly done. I will appreciate it. And hey, my face looks pretty good. Looks pretty damn good. And I'm pretty happy with it. Make sure you keep an eye out for future as we go to merch and stuff like that. And Bevan the Penguin, who was a large feature of our old artwork, is making his own return. But he's a fucking diva. He's just a pain in the ass, and we're going to be taking some time to pry him out of his changing room and give him his own little stage to reveal how his new look is going. So I'm excited for the future of Explosion Network. I hope you are too. But this is Early Late Nights, and enough blathering. We've got news and esports to talk about, everybody. On tonight's show, we'll be discussing the first esports Nike deal in the history of sponsorship for esports and Nike. We'll be going into some comments made by the coach of the League of Legends team Vitality, that is reflective really well just on League, but also on the rest of esports and every variety of game that's a part of it. We'll also be going into Esports for Dummies this week, talking about Rainbow Six Siege, and then I'll be giving a full preview of PAX Australia 2018, which is this weekend, and what you'll be expecting from us here at the Explosion Network. I hope you're sitting comfortably. I hope you've got a drink. I hope you've got some snickety snacks to not stutter over like that, but to, you know, snack on while I talk. Let's dive into the first topic of the night as we go into something very interesting. And this man up here, this is Zhang Uzi Zhao, who is the first person to join in with names such as LeBron James, Roger Federer, Cristiano Ronaldo, as being part of a Nike sponsorship. Nike is very well known, of course, you probably already know, for Just Do It and for its sports apparel throughout the world and throughout the fashion industry, as well as activewear supporting various sporting franchises, as well as different organizations and teams and tournaments. And to see them now take an interest in an esports player, Uzi is a very prominent League of Legends player. He plays for Team Royal Never Die. Team Royal Never Give Up. Team Royal Never Give Up. I don't know why I said Never Die. Heroes never die, you know, but hey, let's carry on with the show. He is the carry player in the bot lane, and it's really interesting to see him pick up. It's on the screen. Royal Never Give Up's on the screen, everybody. Whatever. But Hero, Uzi's role on that team is he's very much a playmaker and very much a face of that team and a face of the growing League of Legends world. And now to see Nike give him a direct sponsorship deal for their own interest inside the esports world is fantastic, because it's showing that growth and that perception. We talked a little while ago about the Olympics and wanting to include esports into the Olympics for the first time, and many people's view on it is that the Olympics shouldn't have esports because there's no fitness, no activity, no physical, you know, oomph in the game. It's all sitting down in front of a chair, and it doesn't promote going outside. It doesn't promote going outside, but that's what it needs to do. And for Nike to now take an interest in esports and move forward and take the first step with doing the sponsorship deal means that the perception of esports is changing extremely rapidly, extremely quickly now to see this. And I'm interested and excited to see how other clothing brands and other of these big name franchises come in and join in on the esports world and get their name. And to see the different bits and pieces come together for it in the industry is great steps for the industry. It's not just a great step for Uzi. It's not just a great step for the League of Legends community, but esports as a whole, because there's more and more opportunity and awareness going on for people to join in and be a part of the overall esports. I guess it's exciting for me as a spectator and as an analyst for it that different people have different roles to play in it. And I'm super excited. I'm super happy to see that we've got that involved and everything. So I'm excited to see where that goes and excited to see how it affects Uzi's career being that face. I did see a t-shirt that was part of it that was dribble and carry, and I was just like, yes, and the carry was in bold. I'm interested. I'm excited to see where it goes for esports in general and for how it gives a different bit of limelight for League of Legends and for the community as a whole. Gonna keep it on League of Legends as we carry on with the show. Meta is something interesting as part of every game, and it's one of my favorite parts of esports in general, is the overall meta and complicated underlying strategy that goes throughout the entire game. It happens in MOBAs, even happens in more simpler esports like your Counter-Strikes, like your FIFAs, where it could just be down to, in FIFA, which team has got the better characters or which players are better fit into your team to play. And to see that change and that move forward has been amazing. And the meta is such a strong thing that many teams fall down the cracks and fall into the trap of needing to play the meta every time they play the game, needing to stick with the conventions that have been imbued and installed into the game by the top tier players of the game. And this is very normal. This normally shows, you know, which teams have which characters have more suitable abilities and uses in the current way the game is played, which team is more feared, and which characters are less useful in now times. And it's interesting. You can even be down to just how the game is played out, what kind of play style are players going through to win the game naturally now. But the problem is, as I said, teams fall into that trap. And sometimes, even though they're doing the best of the best thing, they're not doing it the most optimal way, or they're not doing it to the best level, as with many players. But the interesting thing came out when Team Vitality's coach, Jacob Mebdi, or also known as Yamato Cannon, recently came out in an interview and stated that underdog teams, or teams that are maybe not as big or mainstay or as secured in the foundation of the esports, should try and find their own play style. Not be overly worried about how the game is currently played, how the big dogs, as people say, the big dogs, the top tier teams play. Don't worry so much about that. Find what works for your team and play that style. Find how your team plays. Are you an over-aggressive team? Are you a defensive team? Are you a team that uses unconventional picks within the game? Work on that and use that style to your own benefit. And I think that's a fantastic way to look at games. And it's a fantastic way to look at how people play the game. If you take Overwatch, for instance, one of the biggest strategies currently at the moment is strategy called GOATS, where you run 3 tanks, 3 supports, and you kind of just headbutt each other until somebody wins because you're incredibly sustainable. And a lot of teams will go out of their way to learn that GOATS comp and play that as best as they can. But it falls to bits, as my own team learned recently. It falls to bits if you don't have the communication or the surrounding factors around that playstyle. But when we play our own, when we go into our own playstyle, when a team finds their groove, finds the characters that work just right for them, they can stomp and change up how the game is played completely. We've seen already with Cloud9 and Team Vitality, that game, that match was amazing as well as part of this year. And we see more and more as underdog teams come into matchups that aren't necessarily favored for them, but their role is very set. It's very in position and ready to go. And so we see that change and we see how that's played out. And this is advice that I think, and I saw this, and I wanted to put it out there and get it more involved, because it's something incredibly important in esports to find your own foothold, to find your own play style. Don't always fall into the, this is the best way to play this. Find a better way. Because if you look throughout history, the teams that have taken what's good and made it their own or found their own way to play it are the teams that have excelled. They're the teams that really push themselves to go forward and be better. And I'm really excited. It really helps to see that change. It's amazing. It's fantastic. I'm excited. I really am. I'm really excited to see how more teams thinking that way will revolutionize esports, because that's what we want to do. We want to revolutionize esports and make it better. We want to get better together. That's all we want to see, is the esports grow and rise so more people watch and more people become involved. Now, speaking about people wanting to be more involved, have you ever thought, hey, really like esports? Or I like the idea of esports. I kind of like games, but I don't know which one of these games to watch. Well, do I have the segment for you right here on Early Late Nights? We've been doing esports for dummies. I'm not calling you a dummy. It's just, you know, putting... Well, I kind of... No, I'm not. I refuse to admit that. But so what we do is we break down esports in a very easy to take in way. We go through esports and esports. I've recently done League of Legends. We have done Counter-Strike. It's really interesting to see the growth in it. So this week I'm going to be talking about Rainbow Six Siege, which is probably a newer member of the esports family within its way of its growth and its build, even though Rainbow Six is 2 years old now. We have seen the growth of the game change. Now, esports as... Now, Rainbow Six, even as a game, is incredibly interesting because of the way it interacts with the esports scene. It takes elements of popular MOBAs and popular hero-based games, like your Overwatch, your Heroes of... The Storm, I was going to say Heroes of New Earth, but that's an ancient, that's a relic. Heroes of the Storm, your Dota 2, your League of Legends, and melds it with the fast time but precise gameplay of Counter-Strike. And it's a really interesting mesh to have that kind of, that arranged abilities and teams and characters combined with the intense kind of one mistake and you're dead kind of playstyle of Counter-Strike. If you mend the two together, that's what you get, is this Rainbow Six Siege. So Rainbow Six Siege is played between two teams consisting of five members on each team. One team will be attacking and defending. The goal of the attacking team is to place a charge on the... Either there's an explosion site they can go to place the charge, or to wipe out the other members of the enemy team. Whereas the defending team either wants to also wipe out the enemy team or defuse the bomb site or just hold the bomb site during the time limit. Now, this can be done in a range of teams that are built up of what are called attackers and defenders. Now, you see, attackers and defenders are two different categories of characters, and each character has its own layout, its own setup, but there's no characters that cross over. There's attackers can only attack, defenders can only defend, and their abilities are built around that. So the gameplay starts out with the defenders giving a period of time to establish a little foothold, a little base, building up and putting in place traps, maybe fortifying walls and closing up doors the best they can with wooden boards. While the defenders use micro, little, like, kind of mini remote control drones to further seek out information about the map and the area. Now, during this time, the drones can be killed, and it's about finding the bomb site and trying to get as much information for your team as possible. Now, with that, once the entry come in, this is where the interesting part of Rainbow Six takes advantage, because different characters have different abilities that they can put in place. You need to get through a reinforced door. Let's hope you have a heavy breacher to break through the wall. You want to have a character with more of a recon style. Maybe you get the attacking lion who uses kind of earthquake sonar to find enemy positions. Are you using, say, Glaz, who can use smoke as cover, be able to shoot through the cover? That's not even Glaz. I'm losing myself for a minute. Let's never mind that. But the characters are involved are used in such a different meta, and as I've already mentioned, meta in the game is based around what characters are best used in what situations. Now, there is a large variety of maps that have been played throughout Rainbow Six that will be featured throughout the tournaments. Now, tournaments generally have, as well as the season competitive mode for Rainbow Six, have a set amount of maps that can be played. There'll be some maps locked out, unlike other games like Overwatch, where all maps are open at all times during the competitive season. There is only a selective list of maps that are free, where Rainbow Six and the team behind it will continue to change maps up. They will update maps. They will put in new operators or the heroes, which are called operators. They'll bring more and more of that into the game. Rainbow Six is interesting because, as I mentioned, it brings that intense gameplay mechanism where, unlike, say, in Overwatch, where characters can have 500-600 health, characters are pretty much the same health there all around, and bullets do a lot more damage. Peeking and getting shot by a sniper rifle or not being playing safe leads to a quick death, where teams generally will find them being more methodical with their approach, approaching from different viewpoints. Between rounds, characters can be switched up and changed over, and teams can change and become more complex and strategic around the playstyle of the team. Now, Rainbow Six is, I think, one of the best games to jump into right now. Its esports scene is growing pretty rapidly, and we're finding that there's more and more players coming involved. It is already stated that they want Rainbow Six to be a very large part of the esports scene here in Australia, but also in the world when people look at gaming. At the minute, the accolade probably for first-person shooter in esports is Counter-Strike, and Rainbow Six wants to fill that gap between Counter-Strike lovers and MOBA lovers or Overwatch fans. It wants to meet in the middle with a more intense, sophisticated game, but still having that ability-based teams of operators working together. Now you might say to me, hey Kieran, why this? Why are you talking about Rainbow Six Siege? It was a random pick, maybe we've done it before. What exactly is going on? What are you doing? Well, if you don't know, PAX Australia 2018 is this weekend, and at the PAX event will be the Rainbow Six Siege Masters. We'll be playing out with four teams, three Aussie teams, and the Japanese team will play it out for their share of $25,000 Australian, which breaks down into, I think it's something like 16,000 goes to the winner, and then the rest is broken up between the remaining three places. This will be played out throughout the PAX Australia event, and it's probably the premier esports event happening at PAX. I'm really excited to see this involved and to see this take such a central part of PAX, with the event being in a large showcased area, with teams being given a chance to show out. And as we already saw with the Melbourne Esports Open, teams can build more of a following or show what they've got a lot more with throughout the period to bring in fans and get more people to watch Rainbow Six as an esport. And I'm really excited to watch it. I'm going to be there hopefully at every single match. So please tweet at me if you're there. I might try and say g'day. If you see me, high five me. But PAX Australia, as part of Rainbow Six Masters, it's going to be a fantastic event. It kicks off this Friday. It happens Friday through to Sunday. 10 a.m. start every single day. If you want to late, I think Saturday is completely sold out. But if you want to make sure, stop by on the Sunday, or there are a few Friday tickets still available, make sure you go check it out and be a part of the event. It looks fantastic. For the first time in the history of Australia and gaming and conventions here, the EB Expo, which is probably one of the biggest, most mainstream gaming events, has forged a place within PAX Australia. To bring this amazing event together. We're going to have more top tier games or more AAA games being a part of the convention. You'll be able to play the new Metro game for the first time in Australia at the convention. I'm sure you're going to be able to get your hands on a lot of games throughout the event. But also there is a large variety of panels on display for everybody. There is events after when the show floor closes at 6. There are still panels available and events available like Acquisitions Inc., which is the D&D game that I am. It's a podcast and it's going to be played live there, which is super fun to be involved with and get around. So make sure you check that out. And the panels can feature a range of different things. Go to the PAX website and really check out what's going to be on show. Check out what's available. If you can't be there, all the panels, or generally most of the panels, are streamed. So check out for streaming times and get involved and still have a look and see what's going on. And if you see any of the Explosion team there, there will be four of us. There will be Dylan, Cherie, Ash, and myself. Sadly, Nick can't join us there, but the four of us will be there roaming the halls. Maybe we'll be wearing some nice shiny new merch. We'll also be recording the first episode of our brand new gaming podcast, Arcade Couch, live on the show floor, thanks to the use of Audio Technica's booth on Sunday. So swing by that to come see that live recording of the podcast if you're there on site at the Melbourne Exhibition Centre. It's going to be a really fun event, and I'm really excited to be a part of it. So thank you very much. Kingdom Hearts 3, Ashley's excited to check out Kingdom Hearts 3 on the show floor. Hey, it's going to be a great to wonder. There'll be so many tech demos or pieces of equipment that you can check out and be a part of. If you've never played on a PC or you don't know what it's like to play on a gaming PC, I really suggest go see either normally like Razer has a setup there, or there'll be a setup there by Alienware or LG or Logitech. LG do monitors, what am I saying? Or Logitech, go swing by their booths. You'll be able to play. Generally, they let you play games like Counter-Strike or PUBG, or maybe even there'll be Blackout or League of Legends. Check it out, see how they run, and feel the difference between playing on a PC, playing on a console. Maybe it might help you buy it out. There'll be some great bargains there, some great events. Check out a lot of indie showcases. The Explosion Network will be bringing you catch-ups and kind of reviews of each day as quickly as we can. Make sure you stop by 6:30 p.m. on twitch.tv/explosionnetwork for early late nights. I'll be doing it live from somewhere in Melbourne. It's going to be freaking rogue. It's going to be gorilla, as the popular vloggers call it. We're going to be doing a full rundown of the event for the day. I'm going to be talking about what I've seen, what I've had a chance to look at. Maybe there's been some juicy news drop. We'll be catching you up on that live on Friday night. So don't you worry, me being in Melbourne's not stopping the show whatsoever. Might stop the audio version, though. If the audio's terrible, I probably won't put up a podcast. Yeah. And it'll probably be late posted, but yeah. Anyway, thank you very much for joining me for Early Late Nights episode 58 right here on twitch.tv/explosionnetwork. Make sure if you're at PAX this weekend, you stop by, say good day to us wherever we're roaming around. Check us out on Twitter at ExplosionPod to make sure you're up to date with exactly where we are. Check us out on our Twitter handles. I am at your boy Ringo for my own content. There's Ashley Hobley, who's currently chilling in chat. His is at ASHLEYHOBLEY. That's just Ashley Hobley, all one word. If you want to check out and follow where Dylan's up to for the days, at Viva La Dill, and I can't remember Cherie's off the top of my head, but I will post it in chat following the show to make sure you can follow Cherie as well. Keep following us on the Explosion Network Twitter, as I said, Explosion Pod. If you're watching us on Twitch for the first time, follow our Twitch channel. If you're watching on YouTube or listening to the podcast, put in twitch.tv/explosionnetwork, hit that follow button, and join in whenever we go live with many podcasts featuring on the channel, as well as random Kieran playing games, because that's always fun. I like playing games. I hope you like playing games. It's Tuesday, everybody. I hope you have a fantastic week. It has been a great episode once again of the show. Thank you very much for joining me. I hope you have a fantastic time. Have a good night.